Just got them today.
Okay.
What is that?
It's just for YSR, it's for the website, the YSR website.
Right, the issue of child custody, I assume everybody knows what the meaning of child custody is, right? Two parents decide, for whatever the reason may be, to get divorced, and their children involved, or there could be only one child involved. Who receives custody of that particular child or those particular set of children? May they be all male, all female, mixed gender, okay? Now, what I'd like to do is basically start off by placing the issue of child custody within the whole panorama of what happens in front of a Besdin when a prospective divorced couple comes in front of the Besdin. And the reason why I'm doing that is not simply to inform you what happens in a Besdin, something which you probably have not heard about until now and very possibly may never hear about in other contexts, but it also may have halakhic implications for the whole issue of child custody. Now, when a couple decides to go to a Besdin, okay, and they've accepted the jurisdiction of a particular Besdin, maybe a Besdin here in New York, a Besdin in California, or in Eretz Yisrael, wherever the Besdin may be, the issues which have to be usually resolved, or potentially these are the issues which have to be resolved by a Besdin, financial issues and non-financial issues. In terms of financial issues, one of the issues which potentially has to be addressed is the value of a ksuba. Many of you, I assume, are married already. You've signed off on a ksuba, okay? The value of a ksuba today, based upon the worth of silver as of middle of November of 2005, is the following. There are about four different shitas what the value of a ksuba is. The lowest is approximately $1,200. The next one is the shita of Rav Moshe, which is about $10,000 and change. The Chazon Ish paskins that it's around $14,000 and change. And the fourth shita is that we basically try to figure out what a year of support is worth. In other words, the Mishnah in Perachetz of Be'ah says, who is considered an ani? Who is considered a poor person? Is someone who doesn't have support to feed themselves food and clothing for a year, okay? Based upon the Rosh Mishantz and others, I think the Tiferes Yisrael and some other acronym, but those are the ones which are always quoted, this 1 year of support should be the barometer of the value of the ksuba, okay? Halacha Lamaisa, the Beis Avi, who's an Akron who was Nifter quite a few years ago, Paskin, that Ksuva is not based on $1,200, not based on $10,000, not based upon $14,000, is based upon a year of support, okay? This is the Psak of the Beis Avi. I don't have exactly the simon in front of me. Halacha Lamaisa, just about a year ago, actually in Adar, in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Shlomo Dachovsky, who was a dayan on one of the Batei Din in Yerushalayim, paskened exactly following the Beis Avi. He doesn't bring down the Beis Avi. He brings down the Rosh Mishantz on the Mishnah in Peah, that particular woman who was getting divorced would receive a year of support, okay? This shita, the fourth shita which I mentioned of a year of support, is basically a shitas yachid, okay? Most will pasken either the lowest amount, the 1,200, the middle amount, according to Rav Moshe, 10 and change, or the Chazon Ish. And there's also variance along the line. There will be Besdins which will not paskin any of the amounts. They will take the lowest amount, take the highest amount, which they may consider to be the Chazon Ish, not the Rosh Mishantz, because they say that's how the sugya really follows, either the lowest or the highest being the Chazon Ish. Then take two-thirds of that amount based upon Shara, and they'll come out with a different evaluation of what the ksuba is. So this is one issue which has to be resolved when you come to a Besdin, assuming it comes up, and assuming if the woman has a right to a ksuba. The second issue, which is a major issue, especially if you're talking about a long-term marriage, are the issues of finances. Husband and wife have been living together for 10, 15, 20 years. There is a house, there is a townhouse, there are CDs, there are stocks. How do you divide up that particular financial asset or assets? The third financial issue is tuition. You're dealing with children. There's an obligation upon the father to provide schar limud for his children, whether it's a son or a daughter, okay? The halacha is, according to most poskim, that schar limud is to be given until the age of 13. There's only an obligation, min hadin, to give tuition or to provide tuition for your children to the age of bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, okay? And the fourth issue, which is, may have impact on child custody, is the issue of child support. In other words, not only is a father obligated to provide tuition payments for his children to go to yeshiva, it's an obligation of chinuch, there's also an obligation to support those children. Here again, according to most poskim, min hadin, a father is obligated to provide child support till the age of bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah. Above the age of bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah is betoras tzedakah. Now, once you say that the halacha is not based on the din, but based upon tzedakah, that means the evaluation comes into play. Because who is chayiv in tzedakah? Someone who is amid, someone who has financial means. So if that particular father does not have financial means to provide for his 14-year-old son and 15-year-old daughter, then a bezin will not be mechayiv him, one second, to give tzedakah, to pay for the tuition. Now you may say, and rightfully so, most parents, most fathers who are working have the income to provide for tuition for their kids. So he may be divorced 10 years from his kids, but assuming he is working, he will come under the category of being an amid, a person with financial means, and he'll be able to provide. The answer is yes, that may be the case in most situations, but there will be cases where that doesn't apply. Maybe he's unemployed, or more importantly, maybe he remarried. Imagine if he divorced his wife and he has children from that first marriage. He divorced them 10 years ago. 6 years later, after his divorce, he decided to get married, or let's say even 3 years later he got married. Had children by his second marriage, those children, he has an obligation, min hadin, to provide what? Schooling for them, yeshiva for them, and assuming they are of yeshiva age, his obligation towards these children have priority to his obligation towards the children which he had from his first marriage, because the children of his second marriage become chiyuvim min hadin, that he has to provide child support as well as tuition. But the children from the first marriage is only betorat tzedakah. So let's assume he has two or three children and he does not have the financial means to provide for the children from his first marriage. Those children will not receive a dime from that father, from their father. The people who will receive the money will be the children from his second marriage. Yeah.
According to Allah, like for example, in America, that a father is supposed to provide for his custody until 18, can we change Allah in any way?
All right, one second. Okay, we'll come to that, okay? I don't want to get, because we're doing child divorce, we're doing custody, but one second. In Eretz Yisrael, in 1945, Rav Herzog and Rav Uziel, who were the chief rabbis of Eretz Yisrael in that time, were mesakein et takana that moved the obligation of child support to the age of 15. In 1976, Rav Gorin on his own, even though Rav Avadi Yosef was a Rav Rashi for the Sfardim at that time and did not sign on to the Takana, basically passed a new Takana that extended the age of child support to the age of 18. What happened in the Batei Din over the years is an interesting question, and that's not really the issue for today. Some Batei Din followed the Min HaDin. They said the Takana does not apply, neither of Rav Herzog and Rav Uziel, not the Takana of passed during the time of Rav Gorin, and they kept with the age of 12 and 13 with regard to child support. Other Batei Din supported the Takana and said that child support would be to the age of 15 or after 1976 to the age of 18. I'm told today many Batei Din do endorse the Takana of Rav Gorin, and they go till the age of 18. Now the question has been brought up, secular law basically says that child support is till the age of what? Majority age. What's considered majority age? 21, for example, in New York State. What happens here? You're living in New York. You get divorced in New York, okay? If you go to a Beis Din and you signed on to an arbitration agreement that says that they will paskin according to halacha, in most cases, they will paskin that child support and tuition will be to the age of bar mitzvah and bas mitzvah. Dina da machusat, dina will not apply. But, if you sign an arbitration agreement, which is the agreement which makes a Beis Din's decision enforceable in secular law, if you sign an agreement which says that the Beis Din should take into account secular law, which is what you're referring to, Dina de Malchusa, Dina, okay, and there are certain Batei Din who will do that, not too many, I can tell you, actually very few, then those children would receive both tuition as well as child support until the age of 21. Realize, even in a secular court today, but there are exceptions to the rule, in terms of my own experience, is that when a secular court hands down a decision on child support, okay, they will usually not include tuition as part of the payments. In other words, they will not be mechayev, so to speak, mechayev, right? A father to pay tuition for his child or children. There will be judges, and there are judges in New York who have not only handed down or mandated child support payments, but they will say that the father is obligated to pay a certain percent of the tuition, 25%, 50%, or 75%. But usually not, because we're assuming in a secular environment, everybody's going to where? They're going to public school, okay? Now the question of child support, how does that have an impact on child custody? Remember, child support is an obligation which devolves upon who? The father. Can a father say, if I don't receive custody of my child or children, then I will not pay child support? Is the issue of child support somehow connected to the issue of custody? Now, in terms of the sugya of child support, there's a machlokes how you define what child support is. According to almost everybody, except the Ran and the Igros Moshe in a couple of places, child support has nothing to do with the support you give your wife when you get divorced. One is not connected with the other. It's independent of any money that is provided by the husband during the lifetime to his wife in terms of support. These are two separate sugyas. One is the sugya of supporting your wife, and there are certain criteria in how much you have to pay and the standards for supporting your wife. And the second sugya is the sugya of child support, what you're going to provide your children should you, either during marriage or afterwards. So it's a big machlokas. It's not a big machlokas, actually, because most say the two are completely separate. Given the fact that child support has nothing to do with the support that you give your wife, mikoa hasvara, what credence can you give to the argument that a husband says that I'm not going to support my children because I don't have custody of my children? What's the connection between child support and child custody? Child support is a financial arrangement. Child custody means who you're going to live with, who is going to raise you. Is there any connection? So what I'd like to do now is go to page 6. We're going to go through a Rambam and raise almost all the issues that deal with child custody. Almost all the issues. I'm going to use the Rambam as a foil. I'm not concerned about necessarily trying to reconstruct the Rambam. That you go to a different shiur, you'll learn how to reconstruct the Rambam on the sugya. I'm more concerned in raising the problems of child custody through this Rambam, number one. Number two, also because the Rambam has brought halacha l'maaseh in the Shulchan Aruch. This Rambam is paskin unequivocally in Ebn Ezer Siman Pei Beis, okay, in the Shulchan Aruch. That's the second motivation that I'm using the Rambam. But the first one is simply to use it as a foil to understand the arguments regarding all the issues of child custody. Because the issue of child custody is an extremely complex issue. Unlike all the financial issues which I mentioned to you, those issues are very simple. You make a decision and you have a decision. When you're dealing with child custody, you're making an evaluation of the past, whether that parent is a good parent, a fit parent. Is that parent a fit parent today? And you're making a prescription for the future. Okay? Will that parent be a good parent in the future? It's a very difficult decision to make. That's why, for example, when a psak din is handed down by a Beis Din, or for that matter by a secular court, you will never find a clause which says, well, we're going to modify our decision regarding the assets of the husband and wife. There's no need for any type of change. We made a decision. That's the beginning and end of it. That's the aleph and that's the tav. But with regard to custody, situations change, visitation schedules may have to change, whatever the case may be, it's always open to modification, both in a secular court as well as in a Beis Din, because a child custody decision is a weighing process, okay? A financial issue question, for all practical purposes, to some extent is a weighing process, but once it's made, it's final. Once you decide what the ksuva is worth, you can't come back later and say, well, I think I should get more, I think I should get less. This is not the same type of decision. Okay, so let's go. The Rambam is in page 6. Everyone have the packet? All right, so what I want to read you, and it's cut off because I didn't give you the second page of the Rambam. If you look at the last line of the Rambam, in Perek Chaf Aleph, Halacha Yud Ches. V'im lo ratzta ha'em sheyu boneha etzlo achar shegamlasam. If the mother doesn't want her children to be with her after she weaned them. So the next part of the halacha is, which you don't have, echad zecharim, whether they are male, the echad nekevos, whether they are female, harashus biyado, v'nosenes osam lahavihem. There are two options. She doesn't want them, she doesn't want to have custody of them, they go to the father. O mashlachas osaham lakohol. Or they're sent off into the community, and the Rambam then points out, that's assuming that there is no father around. What is the implication of this Rambam? A Rambam for some reason which has gotten lost in the fray, and this Rambam is paskin halacha l'maisa in Siman Pei Beis in Ebn Ezer, that in actuality, even if a mother has custody of her children, in principle, all children, whether they be male or female, belong to the father. So if she opts for any reason, okay, after they've been weaned, okay, to say, I don't want these kids, then the person who has to accept them if he's around is the father. And if he's not around, then the community has to provide institutionally for these kids. This is what the Rambam says here. Now, I want to understand just... Yeah.
So when they're divorced or when they're...
What?
It's specific.
Yeah.
So it sounds like it's always the list of the mother.
No, I didn't say nothing yet. No, this, that's...
That's like, only she go to the mother if she wants her, if she wants the baby.
No. That, I'm just... No, don't say that. That's not correct. Okay, we'll come to it. It just says that she... The question is if there is a fight between the two, okay? If there's a fight between... If there's a divorce contest between the husband and the wife, who gets the children? Let's say the halacha says, for argument's sake, we'll get to it, that the mother gets the child. She doesn't want it. She does not have to take that. You don't understand the radical position here of the Rambam. The Rambam paskens like that in Parashat Mishnayos. And I say, it's brought down with halacha and the Shulchan Aruch. This isn't necessarily some fly-by-side shitas yachid, okay? Whether it happens that often is a different question. But anyway, if we're up to the point that the father really, in principle, has rights toward those children, I want to understand just briefly, because that's a sugya in itself, what does that mean that he has rights toward those children? Do children belong to the father? Is it like an eved, a slave who belongs to an adon? Okay? So the Rambam in Hilchos Erchin, Perek Vav, Halacha Chaf Al says the following. It's not in your sheets. Ein Adam Magdish Davar She'eino Shalo. A person cannot make Hegdish anything which doesn't belong to him. And the Rambam brings an example. Kagon Shehechrim Bino Uvito She'ein Adam Magdish Davar She'ein Gufo Shalo. If a parent, in this particular case, a father decides to make a child hegdish, it's not effective because ein gufo shalo, that particular body does not belong to the father. Okay? One second. Yeah?
It's like the question with Yitzhak. Maybe it's not his daughter.
All right. I'm trying to work off the Rambam. Okay, fine. Okay, all right. Okay. All right, so negatively, that means that child is not chattel. It's not a piece of karka. It's not an object. Whatever that means. Engufo shalo. That's Hilchos Erchin, Perek Vav, Halacha Chaf Aleph. Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph. Banav shel Adam haktanim, She'ein bahem das, v'lo higiu l'chlal mitzvos, ket kinyano heim. Again, banav shel adam haktanim, etc., etc., ket kinyano heim. Minor children are like his kinyan. Didn't say they are his kinyan, they are like his kinyan, okay? So these are all very amorphous ways of trying to define what the relationship of a father is toward the child, okay? If you go, for example, through the Mishneh Torah, okay, you will find that a father has certain rights vis-a-vis his son as well as his daughter. For example, you'll find in Hilchos Erevin, Perek Vav, Hilchos Maaseh Sheni, V'netar Ravai, Perek Hei, Hilchos Chovel Umazik Perik Dalid, Hilchos Gzeil Vaveda Perik Yudayin, the famous case with regard to a Nara below the age of Bas Mitzvah, Hilchos Ishus Perik Gimel, that he has a right to marry her off. Again, Hilchos Gzeil Vaveda Perik Yudayin, where it talks about the Mitzia that belongs of a daughter, or for that matter of a son who belongs to to the father, that's Perik Yudayin. So basically, without going into it, okay, a parent or a father, he was saying, in terms of his relationship to a child, the children don't belong to him. But kinyano, he has certain rights vis-a-vis them. Now, if he has certain rights vis-a-vis them, how does this, again, impact on the whole issue of child custody? Let's say there is a rule for argument's sake, that the son and the daughter should go to the wife, okay? To the divorced mother. And the father cannot exercise any of these rights, which the Rambam mentions in Mishneh Torah. So what's happening here? Either he has rights vis-a-vis his children, or he has no rights vis-a-vis his children. What's the interplay? Does one thing override the other? Does the issue of custody, how you resolve it, override the zchuyos? Those are the rights that the father has with regard to his children. Okay, so now let's read the Rambam. The Rambam is page 6, Perek Aleph, Perek Halacha Yud Zayin. In the middle of the Rambam, because that's the part which is the Halacha of child custody, about the fourth line down in Halacha Yud Zayin, Shalmu Chadashav V'Gamalasu, if the months of the child were completed and the child was weaned, and we're talking about his son, Imrutzta Hamigureshes, Shiyehe b'no etzlo, ein mafrishim osomi menu, ad shiyehe ben sheish shanim gemuros. So if you notice, the Rambam says, number one, imratzta hamigureshes, if she wants to, because the Rambam is well aware of the fact that he's going to paskin in the next halacha, that if she doesn't want to have that child, which is above the weaning age, she can send him away to the father, okay? So he's aware of what he's going to write in the next halacha. Imratzta hamugureshes, if she wants that particular child, that son, until the age of 6, okay, completing the age of 6, that son remains with the mother. So that's rule number 1, according to the Rambam. Ben pachos mishesh, a son below the age of 6, remains with the mother. The achar sheish shanim, and after 6 years, yesh la'av lomar, then the father, who is divorced, okay, is going to get divorced, has the option to say, imhu etzli, if that child, that son, my son, is with me, etain lo mizonos, I will give him support, imhu etzel imo, lo etain lo mizonos. But if he remains, what? With her, he doesn't have to have mizonos.
Why?
Why 6? So why 6? Good question. Why 6? What is the significance of the age of 6? That's what you're both saying. Chinuch, what's the other possibility? What else? Right. The Rambam paskins in Perek Chaf Aleph Halacha Yud Ches. It's in the next halacha, actually. Okay. That the chiyuv mizonos for a child is to the age of 6. So the plain reading of the text of the Rambam, if you want to start to reconstruct the text of the Rambam, is when the Rambam made the split between below the age of 6 and above the age of 6, it's a function of mizonos, okay? Since after the age of 6, he's only chayiv b'toras tzedakah, okay? Only b'toras tzedakah, according to the Rambam. Therefore, he can opt to say, if I'm not going to have custody of the child, I will not pay the mizonos. What is the second rule of the Rambam here? The first rule is that above the age of 6, the son remains with the daughter. Above the age of 6, who has custody of the child?
The mother.
That's what the Rambam says?
The father
has custody. Rule number 2 is the father has custody above the age of 6. But, right. The plain reading of the Rambam is, and that's how most Akronim learn, he doesn't have a right to take that child, that 8-year-old child, 7-year-old child, from the home of his mother and say, I have custody of the child, because this is how the Rambam paskins. The only thing he can opt to do is what?
Okay.
He's not going to pay. He will not pay above the age of six. Yeah.
So it all depends on the mother's decision at the time that the baby is weaned. If she decides that
afterwards.
Right at the point where you.
To ask it better, it would seem from the Rambam, everything depends on the Rambam. What else could you? What else do you think should be factored in, but the Rambam doesn't factor it in? No, before we'll get to Chinuch. What other party? There's a mother, there's a father, who else do we have?
A child.
Does the child's wishes come into play or not? So the Rambam says nothing about the child's wishes. And so you can't extrapolate what the Rambam says with regard to child. It's a three-way machlokes, okay? When do we consider the child's wishes? According to everybody, once the child reaches the age of bar or bas mitzvah, those wishes have a significant value. The question is, for example, below the age of 12 and 13, do we consider the child's wishes, okay? So the Marami Padua, who's probably, depends how you look at him, is a Rishon, lived in 15th century Ashkenaz, same time as the Truas Hadeshin and the Mari Vile, Mari Brona. I mentioned his tshuva because that's the tshuva that the Ramah brings down La Halacha and Simon Pei Beis in Eben Ezer. That's why I mentioned the Marami Padua. He says basically that the Halacha is that you have to wait till the age of 11. Before the age of 11, we'll never consider the wishes of any child. That's the psak of the Marami Padua. Other Achronim say that you can even factor in the wishes of a six-year-old child. Okay, the Al-Shuch says that in the Shuvah Simen Lamed Ches, the Shoshanim LeDavid in Chelek Bey Simen Chavav also says at the age of six. The Dvar Shmuel and the Rashbash, and the Rashbash is the Rishon, in his Tshuva Simen Reish Bey says that as long as the six-year-old knows the difference between good and bad, you can then ask him, or then you can factor in what his wishes are. But if he doesn't know the difference between good and bad, you can't factor it in any either way. So you have a three-way machlokas. Yeah.
What do you mean factor it in? Let's say the kid wants to go to the father. The Rambam said that it goes to the mother, unless
it will be considered in. It will, because they're all different calculations, okay? In other words, he won't get sole consideration. There'll be other factors you'll always have to consider.
Based on Rambam, it sounds like it always goes to the mother unless she doesn't want it.
Right.
So why does the kid have any...
Now, based upon Rambam, if she doesn't want...
If she wants it, she gets the baby, right?
According to the Rambam, until the age of six, she gets the son, okay? And above the age of six, he gets the son, okay?
She gets the baby, he just doesn't have to pay.
Right, so we're talking about custody, we're not talking about support.
She gets custody.
That's only if she doesn't want it, okay? Okay, otherwise he will get custody, okay? He will get custody, for argument's sake, he will get custody of the 8-year-old child above the age of six, okay? If everything else is being equal, okay?
She'll get custody.
She will. She will only get. I mean, is
she'll,
she? In,
she'll maintain custody.
She will maintain custody.
She won't
okay.
get support. But
she won't get. She will get custody, right? Okay.
So then, what's the factor of what the kid wants? Where does that play in?
That will play in if, let's say, for argument's sake, forget about the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't talk about.
So not possible.
The Rambam doesn't. Right. Factor in child. I'm just saying other Achronim factor in the child. Okay.
So you don't hold the Rambam's mother rule.
Most paskin, as we will see, three rules. Rule number one, that below the age of six, the son goes to the, remains with the mother. Above the age of six, it goes to the father. Okay? Most, not everybody. Yeah?
Not just from the Rambam. Maybe you could still read it from the Rambam.
You can read everything. What?
No,
seriously, you can read. That's why I want to reconstruct the Rambam.
No one, right. He doesn't say what's driving that circumstance that maybe he's going to stay by the mother.
Okay, whatever. The Rambam is very open, okay? I just gave you what most Achronim learn it that way, but you can learn the other way that the Rambam says that he can force the issue and take that kid from the mother. There are shittas like that, okay? But I'm not concerned. I'm not concerned about trying to reconstruct what the Rambam shita is, okay? Okay, yeah. All right, now the third shita, the third rule is the last line of the Rambam, v'habas etzel imo li'olam v'yafilu li'achar sheish, that the daughter in all circumstances remains with the mother even beyond the age of six, emphasizing that also the age of six is not crucial. Now, one issue which was mentioned here, or the issue that I began with, the difference of the criteria six is based upon mizonos, okay? Now let's go to the Ravid and the Magid Mishnah, and they will take a different way of looking at the whole significance of the age of six. If you look at the Ravid on the side, the Ravid says, Ein hadas soveles, I can't accept this position of the Rambam, shenikof es ha'av lahafrish bno mimenu ad sheyehe ben sheish, I can't understand why we have to wait until six in order to then give custody of the son to the father. V'halohu chayav l'chancho b'torah ben arba uben chamesh. V'eich yichanchenu v'hu gadel ben hanashim. Since we know there's a chiyuv upon a father to give education to his children even prior to the age of six, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, etc., etc. Therefore, the Ravid says, okay, that even below the age of six, the son should remain with his father, okay? The Rush in his Tshuvas passens that way, the Marashdam passens that way, the Ramer Abulafia, Mischidushim and Ksuvas also passens that way, but most do not, most pass in the way of the Rambam, that there's a, that the son after the age of six should go to the mother. Now what has happened here now is that the Ravid has brought a whole new dimension into the issue of child custody. In other words, until now we have been saying that the issue of six or not six is a function of the chiyuv of mizonos. All of a sudden the Ravid brings in the factor that has nothing to do with mizonos, why the Rambam invoked the age of six. It's an issue of what? Of chinuch, of education. One second. This becomes extremely important halach lamaisa once you factor in this notion of the Ravid. Now look at the Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah brings down the Ravid, and then he says in the last, if you look at the long line, the first long line of the Magid Mishnah, and he says, I have no problem with the Rambam. Why? V'ein zeh kushya, shechinuch zeh afilu hu eitzel ha'em, yachahu l'chancho l'fa'amim l'shiyavo etzlo. I said, I have no problem with the Rambam. Yes, the Rambam admits that the father has an obligation of Torah tziva lanu Moshe, even with a child who is at the age of four or five. You have lots of Rambams which talk about that there's a chiyav of chinuch when a child, a son, knows how to make a bracha, which is obviously before the age of six. And there's certain criterion about other halachos, where a child has a certain amount of rationale, da'as, you can be mechanech him in mitzvos even below the age of six. The Magid Mishnah says, so what? The parents are divorced. They live in Queens nearby, or 25 miles away from each other. The children will be with who? With the mother. And the father will have visitation rights and visit his children once a week, twice a week, once every second Shabbos, the kids will be with him. There are no issues here. No, there are no issues here about chinuch. The father can accomplish his responsibility, his chiyuvim of chinuch, easily above the age of six. Now, pick what's the reverse logic here. But above the age of six, the Magid Mishnah says, there's a chiyuv upon the father to provide intensive Jewish education for his kids, and therefore what? Therefore, those children should be with whom? With the father. Where did the Magen Mishnah and the Rider pick up this notion of the age of six in terms of chinuch? That's the takana of Rav Yehoshua ben Gamlin in the Gemara in Bava Basra, that once children reach the age of six, you put them into school, because usually the father hopefully is working full time and producing an income for his family, and he doesn't have the time or may not have the talent or the skill to provide chinuch for his children. So the school becomes the locus parentis, becomes the parent of the child, and provides the education. What question should you ask now? Very important. What's the question? The logic. Take the logic to the end. What's the question? Forget about the Rambam. What's the logic of what I'm saying? Therefore?
We should have a daughter too.
Huh?
We should have a daughter also.
Okay, fine. Okay, let's stay with the son. The daughter also. Let's one thing. Let's just the children. Take it to the end. To the end zone. Take it to the end zone. What? Right. 100%. That's extremely important. You don't know how important that is. You don't know how important that is. Because you will hear all the time and again and again and again in a bed, depending on what type of Batei Din that you sit. And if you've had the experience of sitting all kinds of Batei Din, whether in the modern Orthodox community or in the Haredi community, the ultra-Orthodox, and I'm not saying it negatively. I'm really not saying it negatively. The first thing they will say, here's a boy at the age of eight. The father has an obligation to give that child chinuch. I say to myself, and so? Right. He'll pay the tuition bill. Okay? And let that child, let that eight-year-old stay with that mother. Or put it differently, why does a formal requirement of chinuch that devolves upon the father have any implication at all, bizman hazeh, in terms of custody of children? Extremely important, yeah.
Perhaps there won't be any retention from school and the mother won't reinforce the experience. You can take it the other way too.
That what?
That the mother won't reinforce the experience of going through.
Right, look, you could have a situation where the mother is a negative influence on the child. But I'm kidding. Assuming everything is equal, and that's usually very often what happens. You have a couple who are getting divorced in front of you. Both are from people, okay? The wife, the mother is glad to have that child have a yeshiva education. Happens all the time, you know? Possible, right? And the father also is, okay? Why should the fact of chinuch play a role? Now, you could tell me that if there is a conflict between the parents and one, the father wants to give the son a chassidisha yeshiva education, for argument's sake, and the mother wants to give it a modern Orthodox education, there already I can see that it becomes an issue. But if everyone is happy, and in many cases everyone is, you know, as happy as you can be with the yeshiva education that you get your children, why does it make a difference that the father is the one who is paying the tuition bill? Okay? Yeah.
I'm just not certain of, you're inferring...
No, I'm sure, okay.
From the Magen Mishnah that after six, the reason why it has to be by the father is because of a chinuch obligation?
Possibly not.
I mean, because the Magen Mishnah is just defending the Rambam from the Rabbis' critique.
Okay, all right. So let me tell you halach lamaisa what happens, okay? For example, the Noda Yehuda in, it's not in your packet, and it always has an impact, in Madura Tanina, in his Chuvus Evan Ezer, Simon pay test as the following. If the parents aren't living in the same city, okay? And he paskins based upon the Chelkas Mechokek, which is in Simon Pei Bez. He says, you can force that child, okay, to move where the father is. because he has the obligation of chinuch. Well, for example, there was a case which was brought in front of the Minchas Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Weiss from the Eid HaRedis, Chelek Zayim Simin Kuf Yud Gimel. The child was 1.5 years old. The father was living in Eretz Yisrael, and he was actually a Hasidish Rav, which may have had an impact on the tshuva also. And the mother was living in Los Angeles. And Rav Weiss paskin based upon the Rama, okay, Rameir Abulafia, and the Rush and the Ravid, that this 1.5 year old child should be moved from L.A. to Eretz Yisrael to the house of the father in Eretz Yisrael, also based upon the notion of chinuch, okay, and this is basically following the notion of the Magid Mishnah. If you don't give the father the opportunity to educate his child, even a 4-year-old pitzula, okay, you don't give him the opportunity, she lives in L.A., he lives in Eretz Yisrael, he gets the child. Okay? Yeah.
Yes, how about the father's layman?
Is who?
How about if the father is a layman? I mean, we're referring to a chinuch as he's going to get a Torah education, is that correct?
Right, ask a better question.
Non-religious.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. Who asked the question? Right. Do the rules of child custody in halacha apply to irreligious people?
Do they care?
Huh?
Do they care? Do the irreligious people care?
It depends.
That's a good question.
It depends if they end up in a bezdin or not. That could happen. Like the case I gave you, okay?
In Israel, yeah, it makes a difference.
Yeah. Here, what are the chances of a non-religious person ending up?
They sign a prenuptial agreement.
Oh, prenuptial.
Right. If they sign the, but they have to sign two parts of the prenuptial agreement.
What? Oh, one package.
Yeah, but they have to sign both parts. You can.
And also, there's an optional section for custody.
Right, right. In other words, you can sign the part that says that if a husband doesn't give his wife support by a certain amount, he has to pay today, it's $150 a day. In Japan, it's $300 a day. It's a function of cost of living. Okay, you can sign that. Or you can also sign the part that what? That any issues with regard to divorce, for example, like child custody, will be resolved in a bezdin. So you're right. That's actually the case I gave you, where someone was from at the beginning. There was no prenuptial agreement. So you could say they signed a prenuptial agreement, the woman changed her mind and became non-frum. She's obligated by law, by secular law, although it's never been tested yet. You should know that the prenuptial agreement has never been tested in New York State until so far. It hasn't been tested. It hasn't been, if it's legally viable. But if she signed that, you're right. That would be a case where you would have a frum and a non-frum person in front of you. And the answer is, if you read this psak, because the question from the Bechina is going to be based upon you reading that psak, that's a case, so you know what it's all about. Starting from page, we should read the facts. Don't be concerned about the Israeli secular law. I'm not here, not a law course. Strictly the halacha from page 14 on, and the facts, that's a case of a very frum, a couple who married and they were frum. They broke up, okay? She decided not to be from. She moved to Haifa, on the area of Haifa. She wanted to send the daughter, 5 or 6.5 years old, to a non-from place. He was a very, at least from the psak, a very ultra-from person, it seems, but very sound educationally. And he's basically said that the child should remain with the mother. He would like the child to remain with her mother. He didn't opt to have that child come down to live in his ultra-Orthodox frum community. Stay in Haifa, and that child should go to a mamlachti school. You know, in Eretz Yisrael, mamlachti is basically a school which has both chilo, I think maybe you want the mamlachti dati, where you have both people from frum environments and people from non-frum environments. And he felt that it would be educationally sound, okay, for that child to remain in that type of environment rather than bring the child back to Yerushalayim to a very much more different environment that the child would have had problems with. But anyway, you read the Pesach, but that's a case. It doesn't happen too often, but you can have cases of non-Purim people. This, I don't have the, in front of me, but Rav Kapach and one of his Piskei Din, he was a Sfarish Rav that passed away a couple of years ago, and one of his Piskei Din said very clearly that the rules of child custody apply even with regard to non-religious people, and there's a Pesach of Rav Herzog, and there's some of the decisions which are printed, who also passed in that way. Because we're assuming, until now, that child custody rules are based on the rules of formal education. That's why we have these rules. But the other possibility is that the rules of child custody are what? Not necessarily simply based upon rules of formal education in terms of who has an obligation to a child. How did these rules get established? Based upon what? What's the other possibility? What? Why should a daughter be with a mother all of her life? Why should a son be above the age of 6 or 8 be with his father?
Gender.
Right. These are personality development rules. Okay? And based upon that, Rav Kapach says, it's better if a daughter should remain with her mother, okay, all the time. We'll see what that means, all the time. And a child, and a son, depending on his age, remains either with his mother in the younger years because he needs her. Nothing to do with chinuch. He needs her emotionally, psychologically, okay? But above the age of 6, there's certain gender issues which require him to have a father image, etc., etc., and therefore he has to be with his father. Not necessarily because of the importance of chinuch, because that anyway is being done by a third party, namely yeshiva. Okay, so as, this is basically the position of Rav Kapach and others, Rav Herzog, that the rules of custody apply across the board, whether you're from or whether you're not from. Whether in practicality you're going to have a non-from person in front of you, there have been many cases in Eretz Yisrael that you have. Here in America, I'm sure there are not that many. Yeah.
What stance in psychology are we holding regarding to behavioral, realistic? I'm just trying to understand, like, what's this development that they're referring to? That personality is so integral from 6 and onward. It sounds even
so. Okay. The following case. Let's backtrack. How, in the ideal form, when parents come to a Beis Din to resolve issues of custody, ideally, and I mean really ideally, that's how it should be, there should be a child psychologist there, okay? Either serving as a dayan or serving as a guidance director for those dayanim, okay? Because all dayanim need the help of child psychologists when dealing, you know, with the kids, especially when you have real problem situations. And you can have very difficult situations. So the question was posed to a Beis Din in the 1960s in Eretz Yisrael. It's very interesting, okay? Where social workers came and presented evidence in support of, you know, awarding custody to a particular kid. The psychologist or a social worker, I remember who it was, came in front of the Beis Din and said to the Beis Din the following. Above the age of 6, all daughters, or I'm making it up now, between the age of 6, all daughters between the age of 6 and 8 belong with their father. The Beis Din threw it out. Another psychologist said, above the age, the rule is all daughters go to their mother. But in this particular circumstance, we think that this 8-year-old daughter should be with his, with her mother, with her father. What's the difference? That they accepted, that finding of the social worker, the first one they threw out.
Non-generalization.
What?
It's no longer generalization, it's case sensitive.
Right, well, all right. Explain what you mean.
This is not going negative.
Right. Not going against the rule. Right. You're saying the rule doesn't apply in this situation. but we're not establishing a new rule. Okay, that's the only psak I found, okay? Okay? Which leads you to the next question, okay? There are three rules here. Two rules regarding a son, a third rule regarding a daughter. Are these rules to be broken or to use the lashon? Are these rules only chazakah? Are these only presumptions? And if you have a case in front of you that you would not want to apply the rule, can you decide not to apply the rule? So if you have a 9-year-old daughter in front of you, and the rule says it should be with the mother, but you think, we'll have to understand what that means, you think that that child should be with the father, halacha allows you to award custody to the father. Are these rules which can't be broken? If they can't be broken, that's the beginning and end of the story. And there are situations that I know where Batei Din simply applied the rule. They look at the child, the gender, male or female, they look at the age, and they apply the rules of the Rama, or they apply the rules of the Rush. And the Ramban say that below the age of six, the son goes to the father. They simply look at the gender, they look at the age, and Shalom al Yisrael, it's a mechanical application of the rules. Maybe that's the way to do it. Okay. The Rambam is obviously not clear on this at all, doesn't even address this, but this is an issue which can be raised from the Rambam. Another issue which can be raised from the Rambam, we began with the point that the Rambam admits that there are certain rights that a father has vis-a-vis his children, may it be his son or his daughter. Do these rights go out the window? In other words, custody has been awarded to the mother and the father lives 100 miles away, 50 miles away. He can't exercise his rights. Is that halachically correct? Do the rules of custody override his rights? Okay, so let's go to the Radva, let's go to the Rajba. The Rajba is on page
'In Israel, are all child custody cases decided by a rabbinical court? No. The
law in Israel is that kedushin and nisuin, marriage and divorce, per se, are under the exclusive jurisdiction of the Besdin. But rules like child, but issues like child custody, is under joint jurisdiction. In other words, you can opt either to go to secular court or you can opt to go to a Besdin. Okay. Page 19, okay? It's a famous tshuva because it's quoted all the time. That's what makes a tshuva and it becomes very acceptable, halakha l'maisa. This comes from the Shutta Rajba Ham Yuchasos Laha Ramban. As you know, the Rajba wrote 7, 8, or 9 chalakim of tshuvas, and he also wrote, and there's a small volume called Ham Yuchos Laharamban. Most of the tshuvas in this small volume belong to the Rajba. I didn't check up if this is one of the exceptions to the rule, okay? I'm assuming this is the tshuva of the Rajba, okay? It may be the Ramban, but I would assume it is the tshuva of the Rajba, okay? So here's, it's a very small tshuva, but it has an important principle that it brings up. She'ela, apotropsim shemakru karkas, shemakru karka yisomim, the Toelas HaYisomim, there were guardians who sold something for the benefit of Yisomim, for orphans. And the Amana, the widow, had an issue, etc., etc. Oh, wait a minute. No, Lamed Ches, my mistake. I was reading Lamed Hey. Lamed Ches. Ruvain Shemes Ve'niach Banim. Reuven passed away and he had children. V'almana tovas min ha'petrupsim mizonos mitachas hayisomim bonel. And the widow wanted mizonos from the apotropsim, and the apotropsim then invoke their right to what they want the children to stay with them. And then it says, V'halmana omeris eini rotzeh shiyu banai etzel acherim, ela etzli. I want the children to remain with me and not with the apotropsim, which the Rajba points out, the afalpisha apotropsim krovim heim. Even though these particular legal guardians are relatives of the deceased father, she wants custody of these banim, of these children.
But why did these people get the custody of the child in the first place?
Why did they get it?
Yeah.
I can't tell you. I don't know. I can't tell you. The question he's asking, no, because it happens very often, even Lamaisa today. People get physical custody. Whoever gets it, whoever the child is, and then you have to deal with it after the fact, okay? Doesn't mean that they got custody. It was living there.
Some guardian?
Guardians, relatives who had the children there. I can't tell you what happened before. Whether they halachically have a right to it, that's the issue here, okay? It happens very often, for example. Lately, often, where mothers leave their house with their children, and the husband and the father are left alone, basically. Okay, so the mother took custody of those children. She has physical custody of the children. Now, whether she should have legal custody of them, that's going to be resolved by a secular court or a bezin. So, what the circumstances are prior to the issue, I don't know. It was simply that a fact. If someone grabs a child, that doesn't mean they have a right toward the child, okay?
I think the case with Truman was where she has physical control of the children. The issue is that with the chatan or the father, the apotropsim are watching over the Yerusha of the Yisalmim. So she wants to collect from
the... No. The case is here. That's a separate issue about the Yerusha part. But here the issue is v'halmana omeris eini rotzeh shiyu banai etzel acherim, okay? But forget about the Yerusha. I don't want to get involved with the Yerusha.
It's by her, but she wants to claim money for it. She wants to claim support from the apotropsim. Apotropsim is saying, we're not going to support the children.
Okay, I don't want to get into the issue of support. Okay, I hear you. Okay, all right. So he quotes then the Rambam, which is not just the Rambam, it's the Gemara and Ksuvos. Tshuva habas liolam etzel ha'aim v'afilu nasei sa'aim. Under all circumstances, a daughter... remains with the mother even if she remarries. Lo shne gdola, lo shne ktana. Doesn't make a difference if the girl is a majority age of minority age. And why? So here he quotes the Rashba doesn't quote chinuch per se, not the formal requirements of chinuch. Ba'atam kidei shetargil ha'aim labas of tilamdena derech nashim shlo targil atzmo v'pritzus. Okay, simply in terms of personality formation, moral development, okay? Avol habein yoseh roi lios etzel hanoshim akrovim. It's better if the son goes to be with men who are krovim, we're talking about relatives here, right? Sheheim yargiluhu v'ilamduhu derech halimud v'derech hanoshim yoseh min ha'aim. So when the Ramban formulated, he says there are two factors involved in why a son remains, in this particular case, with these relatives who are karov to him. Number one, because of the formal element of chinuch, but he also emphasizes the informal element in terms of personality development. Just like he mentioned the informal element with regard to the daughter. Now, if you go all the way to the last three lines, and these are the lines which are always quoted in Achronim as well as in Piskei Din, Uli Olam, Liolam, Sarach Ladagdeik, Bichlal, Ladvarim Ha'elu, you have to look into these things, Mashi Yireh Be'enei Bezdin, Bechol Makom, Umakom, Sheyesh Bo, Yoser Tikun Li Yisomim, Shebezdin Avihim Shal Yisomim, Lachzor achar tikunam. What's the Rashba saying here? We have rules, okay? A daughter goes to a mother, a son at a certain point goes to a father, but, what is he saying here?
As long as it's appropriate.
What?
As long as it's appropriate.
Yeah, and how do you translate that into modern English language?
Discretion of the...
Yeah, discretion of the Besdin, but what's guiding the Besdin?
What's correct. The best interest of the child?
Right, the best interest of the child. What they say in modern Hebrew, tovas hayele. In other words, the rules are simply chazakos, okay? There is a substructure to those rules. They are based upon the best interest of the child. Emotionally, educationally, socially, whatever the case may be, psychologically. If those rules defeat the principle of tovas hayeled, you put the rules aside. But according to that Besdin that I mentioned before, you can never nullify the rules. You can say the rules don't apply in a particular situation, but you can never nullify the rules, okay? This is the tshuva of the Rajba. Given the fact that this tshuva is dealing with sons, okay, there are some achronim who say that you have to limit the scope of the psak of the Rajba. When did the Rajba say that what? That the principle of tovas hayeled applies with regard to the rules of custody? It's limited to the case. And the case is a case of what? Of boys. But when you're dealing with daughters, habas etzel ha'ima li'olam, the bas always goes to the mother. There's some achronim who learn that way. Okay? And what's driving them to an extent is because the Gemara, the only place that the Gemara makes such a emphatic statement with regard to custody is with regard to that third rule, the rule with regard to the daughter. If you look at the Gemara in Ksuvos later in Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis and Daf Kuf Gimel Amid Aleph, there the Gemara says, Habas Eitzel Ha'ima Li'olam. With somehow these achronim are driven by the fact that the Gemara explicitly says, under all circumstances, okay, that daughter has to remain with that mother. Okay, that's how they learn this Ramban. Okay, and part of the reason is because of that Gemara. Part of the reason. Not the
Gemara,
please. You have the Gemara here. Kuf Beis Amid Beis to Kuf Gimel Amid Aleph. The Gemara is Doso Meres Habas. It's all when you read the Gemara, okay? And there are other reasons, but that's one of the main reasons. All right, now I want to read you a Radvaz. The Radvaz is Chela Gimel Tuf Nun Aleph. Again, Chela Gimel Tuf Nun Aleph. Ruven Giresh is Ishto, Vieshlo Mimenu Ben Katan, Yonek Shteimo, a child which is being nurtured, which is being weaned. The Acha Shegersha Rota Lelechas Laris Yisrael. And after he divorced that he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, can he take this son with him? The son who's being weaned. Forget about the halachas of Hanukkah for the time being. Special halachas. I don't want to get involved here. What would you say? Can he take that child with him? Based on the beginning that we said in the Rambam? Can he take the child with him? The Radvaz lived in Egypt. Okay? Alexandria. I assume this happened in Alexandria. They got divorced in Alexandria. He wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael. So the husband wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael. Can he take that young Ben Katan, Yonek Imo, then we're talking about a child which is being weaned. And don't get the issue of Hanukkah, leave Hanukkah out of it. Assuming everything else is equal. Can he get custody of that child based on the Rambam that we started off with? Why not? Before that, the Rambam before that. What's the Rambam before? Before, what? Before the rules, before the rules, before the rules.
Rambam.
We mentioned that what? Yeah.
According to Rambam, if she doesn't mind not getting any money, she gets to choose if she
No, before that Rambam, the Rambam, the first Rambam I read to you. Not the Rambam of custody. Where I read it to you, you didn't have it in there because only the one line was missing. According to the Rambam and according to others, not just the Rambam, the father has certain rights vis-a-vis his child, okay? So according to the Rambam, maybe he has a right to take that child to Eretz Yisrael. Forget about the issues of custody. So listen to how he paskins. Min ha-Torah leveis avosem omakra. Midaraisa, children are leveis avosem. You define them by their parents, by their father, I should say. And that means what? In terms of the rights that a father has vis-a-vis his child. So you would think that he could have custody of the child. But then he says, midrabanan. He says in a different tshuva, because of tovas hayeled, because the best interests of the child, best interests of the child override any rights he may have vis-a-vis his child. And therefore, it all depends on what tovas hayeled is. If it is in the best interest of that child to be with the mother, he remains with the mother. If it's in the best interest of the child to be with the father, he will go with the father. Irregardless of the fact whether the father has rights, has nothing to do with the rights of the father. Has to do with what the best interest of the child. Tough, nun aleph. And then there are other tshuvas I brought here. They all fit into this, okay?
You're saying that the best interest of the child overrides the right?
Yeah. What?
As a rabbanim overriding the right?
Right. That's the rabban. They don't explain why it's so, but that's what they say. Just said. No one explains the dynamics. But that's midrabban, okay? There's another tshuva of the Radbaz. Do you find it here?
36.
Possible. There are a couple of tshuvas, but this is page 36, where he applies the notion of tovas hayeled. This is tshuva. Chelek Aleph, Simon Reish, Samach Gimel, on page 36. Ruvain Giresh is Ishto. Ruvain divorced his wife. V'yeshlo mimenu bast, and he has from her a daughter. Harehi bas Shiva. She's 7 years old. V'hi etzel imo, and she's with her mother. V'zinsa imo, and her mother had relations with somebody. V'yolda meznus. Not only did she have relations, she had offspring from the relationship. The Kaven Shara'a Ruvain Kain Rotze Lokachas as Bito Me Etzlo Shlo Tilmad Masa Imo. When Ruvain saw what was happening in his former wife's house, he wanted his daughter to be removed from that type of environment, and he wanted to have custody of his daughter. Comes along the Radvaz, Hadava Barush Hadinim Ruvain. It's clear to me that the custody belongs to Ruvain, right? The Ha Taima the Amra Habas Eitzel Ima Mishum the Tzafta the Ima Nechale. That the reason why we say a daughter is to reside with a mother is because it's in the best interest, base, so to speak, that she remain with a mother. V'hacha anan tzahada delo nechale v'tzavta. And here we can presume, halachically presume, this is not exactly the best place that a daughter should be. And therefore what he's basically saying, like he said in the tshuva before, that tovas hayele, the best interest of the child, will be decisive on the issue. So basically, he paskins the Rajba in a wider interpretation, that even though the Rajba is only dealing with a case of sons, it equally applies to daughters. In all cases where the best interests of the child do not promote where the child is living, you remove that child, may it be a son, may it be a daughter, from the home of that parent. Okay? Yeah.
assuming we do follow this trend of the Rashbam and the Rabbis, taking the best interest of the child.
This is one trend, not necessarily the only trend.
Okay, assuming we accept this, the Rabbis example is very extreme, but in more normal examples, how would a Beis Din use, what criteria would they use to determine what's in the best interest of the child? Sometimes it's not so clear, like the father's a ganav or something, or the mother's a zina, that's very clear, but if it's like mother and father are arguing, no, you know, I live in a place that has better kids for him to play with, and the father says, no, but I live in a place where it'll be closer to his family. I mean,
How old is the child, number one? You have to have all the facts. Make up a case.
A 6-year-old child doesn't have any preference for where to live, so it's purely up to the parents' discretion.
Okay.
And there's really factors that weigh in on both sides, criteria that could be good for the child in both ways. I mean, it's very vague to say whatever's in the best interest of the child. What criteria are used to determine?
Well, what happens is you investigate the home. You speak to the child. You know, if the Beis Din knows what they're doing, they speak. If there's a need to, they speak to the child. They will also, usually the mother and the father will even bring their own social workers and psychologists to advance whatever claim they have, okay? So, and hopefully you make the right decision. Very often the case is you can have a 7 or 8 year old son where the father has no interest in having that child, okay? You're lucky if he even wants to pay tuition for the child sometimes. You know, that may not be the case. You're talking about a case where the father really wants. Now, you have to understand that sometimes when a father says he really wants and that father has real problems, that can be. You know, just because you want something doesn't mean you should be the person who is a fit parent. You can also have a situation where both parents aren't fit. That's a real problem. What do you do when you have both parents who aren't fit? Because you do have to make a decision. You can't send them to the YMCA. Okay, that's a real, real problem. But usually does not happen that often. Usually you tend to be able to make a pretty good, clear... Once you meet parents often enough, you can make a pretty good, clear-cut decision, hopefully, in where that child should be. One of the points which I'm making is extremely important because it's always lost. The fact that a father may provide education, maybe a daughter's education or a son's education, should not necessarily be a crucial factor in deciding that the child should be with him. I'm not taking any particular stand that it should be with the mother either, but I don't think the formal requirement of education, today at least, should be as significant as years ago when the parents educated the child. Today that isn't the case. Yes, if you have a child, there are people like that. There are people who don't send their kids to school, and that father is educating his children, then I would think that the issue of formal education becomes extremely important, but that's not the usual situation. Yeah?
Are there Bati Din today that actually split up the kids, all things being equal, mother says father, and girls go to the mother, boys go to the father?
Well, you have to realize today, in most cases, what happens is that the one particular parent receives physical custody of the child. Then the other parent, usually it's the father, has visitation rights and they live near the child, okay? So the chances are that they would be split up are pretty slim. Again, there is no answer to that question. You have to see the case in front of you, okay? There may be situations where you may want to split up the kids. You know, it depends. But you have to have the facts in front of you. You can't say Stam in the Velterein that, yes, halacha agrees. Yes, in principle, halacha would agree that we could split up children. If that's the best interest of the child and the family as a whole, we could split up the family. But you have to have the case in front of you, the facts that dictate that it's the best interest of splitting up that family. Usually, I say all the time, usually it's not in the best interest, okay? And usually if a parent is a fit parent for child A, that parent is a fit parent for child B, okay? You know, we're talking, you know, up in the air, okay? But if you ask me in principle, could you split up a family? The answer is yes. But the facts have to dictate that you can split up the family. But realize, even when you give, for example, custody of all the kids to the mother, for argument's sake, okay? And the father only has visitation rights, very often they have what's called joint custody. In other words, issues regarding chinuch, regarding medical situations will be resolved by both parties at the same time, okay? They jointly have to make a decision. Assuming it works out, the Bezdin will make provision for the fact that if this doesn't work out, it creates machlokas, they'll throw it out, and they'll give one party the right to make all the decisions, okay?
So it was generally assumed that what's good for one kid is usually good for all the kids.
Yeah,
so
I'm not assuming that either. Now we're sitting here in yeshiva, okay? I'm not saying negatively. You have to have the facts in front of you to really, you know, to really resolve, you know, to address it. I'm saying in principle, yes, you could split up a family. Chances are it wouldn't happen that way.
Right, so chances are it wouldn't happen. So which way is it going to go? And we're saying
It could end up that the daughter's going to end up with the father, at the father, and the son is going to end up with the mother. That's exactly the point. We don't go by the rules necessarily. The families could be split. The 15-year-old girl could end up by the daughter, and the 8-year-old son could end up by the mother. Could happen. But it all depends on the facts. You can't make hakiris here. You have to understand what the facts are with regard to the particular child we're talking about. Okay? You have to address. It's like a tshuva, okay? A tshuva is based upon, a psak is based upon facts, okay? That's why, for example, the Rajba, so all of a sudden they limit the Rajba. The Rajba, Tovas Hayel, it only applies with regard to who? Sons, because the Rajba was talking about sons, not talking about daughters. You limit the facts. So the same thing here when you deal with a custody situation. The facts will dictate how you operate. And you can go in all different directions, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what's the law regarding visitation rights?
There's nothing. There is nothing. You know what it's based upon? You've read it already. Excellent. That's the only halachic source of visitation. Excellent. That's exactly it. If anyone asks you what's the basis of visitation in halacha, it's the Magen Mishnah. That's exactly who's quoted.
So the father doesn't necessarily have rights to visit his daughter.
What? No. They extrapolate. If you give the father opportunity to what? To be with his child, okay? That's what visitation is all about, okay?
Right, but for chinuch purposes, is what my admission does.
Okay, fine. Okay, so they widen it, but it's based strictly. Anyone who you'll find nothing, but you find nothing in the Gemara about it. You don't have anything even in the Gemara about the fact that a son above the age of 6 should be with his father and below the age of 6 should be with his mother. If you learn the Gemara, you'll see it's not explicit there. The Marashdam says it. I only found it recently. I was seeing the sugya, I don't know, many years ago. The Rashbam says, lo muklach, it's not proven from the Gemara that there is such a rule that above the age of 6, a son should be with his father. He's 100% correct. I didn't learn the Gemara. Read the lines of the Gemara. No proof from the Gemara one way or the other. They basically say there's halacha that if Rabbi Shua ben Gamliel at above the age of 6, you put a kid into school, a son into school, so therefore the son should be with the father. What's the connection between custody and formal education? Yeah.
I was trying to ask, how does the Beit Din basically resolve these issues regarding visitation rights? The father wants to see his children 5 days a week. The mother wants to see. His father seen him once a week.
Right. It's all discretionary. There's no rules, okay, with regard to that. It's discretionary. It depends on the... You have to realize people come with baggage to the Beis Din, really some bad baggage. And I really don't mean it negatively at all. You can't imagine some of the people come in front of the Beis Din. There are real issues here, whether you want to have a child be with a particular parent. Real issues, okay? So this is not like the shuk, where you negotiate, you know, a day or two or three or four days. The question is, do you really want to give that child to this particular mother or with this particular father? I had a case way back, many, many years ago, okay? I wasn't ready to give this child to neither parent. Neither one. Luckily, that particular situation left the Beis Din and went elsewhere. It had been in another Beis Din, had been in secular court, left... The Beis Din I was involved with went to another, but I was very happy about it. Not happy about the situation, but happy that I didn't have to resolve the situation. This isn't, you know, we're all sitting here nicely and everyone's sitting there, the jacket and tie. People come in, you Can't imagine the kind of problems there are. Can't imagine. Cannot imagine. Whatever. Anyway.
Menachem Yitzchak's tshuva, where he says that the
kid
goes to Israel, the young kid should go to Israel.
Right.
Does he explicitly say that he's passing against the Shulchan Aruch?
Yeah, Paskin's like the Rama. Right. So Rama, that's below the age of six. Right. They don't Paskin. Right. Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly. Just like the Nodav Yehuda. Right. Yeah, he said the Rama. Rama in the Gemara and Ksuv.
And he's not saying that the Shulchan Aruch holds like the Rama. He's saying the Shulchan Aruch argues on this. And I'm
Rama meaning Resh Mem Hei, okay?
Right.
You have a Minchas Yitzchak? You have a place based marriage? Look at it. No, seriously. I mean, see what it says, okay? Now the Rajva and the Radvaz, which basically developed the idea that the rules are simply chazakos based upon tovas hayeled, I bring them down because halacha lemaisa, the Marami Padua, which I mentioned before, the tshuva of the Marami Padua, which is quoted in the Rama, Rav Moshe Israelish in the Shulchan Aruch, paskins the same way. So someone asks you, what is the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch? You have the Shulchan Aruch, which brings down the Rambam, okay, which sets down the three rules, okay. Then you have the Rama on the Shulchan Aruch, who brings down the tshuva of the Marami Padua, who basically qualifies it, okay. You won't find that there, this is what I'm saying. Basically qualifies or elaborates on the rules of the Rambam. Don't you think that the rules of the Rambam are simply absolutes with no exceptions? Rama says, look at the tshuva, the Marami Padua, that Siman Pei Beis, which tells you that these rules are based upon the best interests of the child. These rules are chazakos. So halacha lemaisa, at least in the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama, at least the Rama halacha lemaisa is that Tovas Hayeled is the underpinning of the rules set down in the Rambam. Nevertheless, there are achronim who don't paskin like the Rama, okay? Like you mentioned, the Minchas Yitzchak and others, okay? Where they may say the rules are absolute, or they may say the rules are not absolute. Yeah.
So Maharam is that what you were putting earlier, but
right about
the child.
Right, same tshuva.
And he talks about it there.
He also it's a small tshuva. Right. And it's quoted in the Rama. You'll read the Rama. It's quoted. It's Pei Beis in the Rama. It's one line in the Rama. I mean, one line in the. One sif in the Shulchan Aruch and child custody. Okay. Any other questions?
And the Marami Padua said 11 years old, was he also talking about a boy?
Yeah. But you don't have to, you know, it's not a function of gender. I mean, I don't see anyone making a distinction between a son and a daughter. Any other questions? Okay.
Hey guys, just two announcements. First of all, I'm going to be giving a Chazara Shir by public request this Thursday, this coming Thursday night.